Hello and welcome to the Shepherd's Voice podcast. My name is Jimmy Carroll, the digital media specialist at the Archdiocese of Omaha. My usual guest who enjoys coming back every time, the Most Reverend George J. Lucas, Archbishop of Omaha. How have you been, Archbishop?
I've been fine, Jimmy. Yes, I do enjoy it very much. Thanks for your help with this.
We just surpassed the second Sunday of Easter as we're recording this, and I mean, believe it or not, Lent went by pretty quick. I think it sometimes just, you know, it's here and then it goes, and then people don't realize it after they, you know, as you know, during the season. How do we experience the risen Christ in our life during the Easter season?
That's a great question. I agree with what you say. You know, it's the pivotal feast and the meaning of the death and resurrection of Jesus together, but his resurrection. Particularly, it is really the foundation of our Catholic faith, and the one way to talk about the meaning of it is to say that Jesus is alive. To say it that clearly. And so your question is a good one. So okay, if he's alive, then how do we experience him?
Yeah.
It's worth reflecting on these days. We don't just remember a significant event, the most significant event in human history, the resurrection of Jesus. It really happened at a particular moment and in a particular place. But because Jesus is alive, we are able to encounter him through the power of the Holy Spirit in the church. And he makes himself available to us in a variety of ways. He revealed to his disciples after his resurrection that they would encounter him in a powerful way in the breaking of the bread. Mm-hmm. That was how the scripture refers to it. We understand that we meet Jesus, the risen Jesus, in a very powerful and personal way in the Holy Eucharist. And it's really the resurrection of Jesus, the power of the resurrection that makes the Eucharist possible, we would say. And it makes it possible for us to encounter Jesus really. It was his plan that he be really present under the form of bread and wine. And that's not just talk, and it's not just sort of portraying what he did at the Last Supper, but it's a real encounter with Jesus each time the Mass is celebrated. Because of his resurrection, he empowers the other sacraments that we celebrate in the church as well. We meet him in the community of believers, and that's why the time we spend together with other members of the body of Christ is very important. Whether that's study or prayer or just hanging out together, but it's a special opportunity for us to experience the presence of the risen Christ whenever two or more of us come together.
Graces are flowing.
In his name. Yes, they are. And it's a part of the joy of our Catholic faith that it's not only when we're doing something really serious, like celebrating the Mass or studying the Scriptures. They're serious, not burdensome, but they're serious or important moments. But just hanging out with other friends of Jesus, it enables us to experience his presence and to encounter him.
You speak of hanging out, Deacon Omar Gutierrez, it reminds me of something that he's said before. It's, you know, even if you're like not specifically praying, you know, like whether it's at a church or just with family, but just, you know, being in the presence with people, it's a prayer. Like no matter what you're doing, even if it's just being with people, it's a prayer. And I think especially during the Easter season, we're hoping to recognize the risen Christ. And how exactly can people do that? Like how are there any specific concrete things that you can explain to the audience of how can we really truly recognize the risen Christ?
Well, I think it helps to look for him.
Yeah.
He's not hiding, trying to make himself scarce, but it's easy to be distracted. And again, we read these beautiful accounts in the Gospels of how after the resurrection, the disciples of Jesus were gathered, maybe in the upper room, maybe they were out fishing, and there Jesus was in their midst, and they did recognize him and had the experience of his company. So as I said earlier, we look for him in Mass and in the sacraments. When we study the Scriptures, maybe in a formal way, or just taking the time ourselves to pray and reflect a passage of the scripture, we encounter the Lord, and we should look for him there. Jesus is the living word of God, and so he's really present in the scriptures a different way than he's present in the Eucharist, but he's there. And he gives us kind of a key, we might say, to understanding the Old Testament and the New Testament, both. We do meet him in relationships with other people. And after we're baptized, we're incorporated into the body of Christ. And so we have a real relationship mm-hmm. with other members of the body of Christ. And when we form friendships, or even just have association, maybe at work or in the neighborhood, with others who we are aware are also followers of Jesus and have also been incorporated into his body, we can expect that something really good can come from those relationships. They can be fruitful, helpful to us in a variety of ways, particularly because of the connection we have in Jesus, and because he's a part of that relationship. So, yeah, I mean, it's whether those encounters, whether we would call it a prayer, or but they're moments of grace, and I think we come to value others who we know are disciples of Jesus, and we know that they're sort of with us in important beliefs and understandings, and they want to support our faith as well as we want to support theirs.
What era to you? What is the literal definition of Easter? If you had to tell us right now, what is the literal definition of Easter?
Well, I don't know about a definition. I'm not sure. I'm not exactly sure what you're asking. I think it's the commemoration of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. So again, it's the most important thing that we know to be true, mm-hmm. that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for us on the cross, but he's not dead now. He's alive, risen from the dead, and he wants to be part of your life and mine. He wants us to be able to encounter him and to have an experience of his living presence through the power of the Holy Spirit in the church. St. Paul tells us, you know, if this isn't true, our faith is in vain. So really, it's kind of senseless to go through all of the rituals and try to follow the teachings of our Catholic faith. If Jesus isn't risen, all that is really meaningless. What it illustrates is that he was telling us the truth. Is telling us the truth when he tells us that he's the Son of God. As the Son of God, he took on our human nature, but then also took on the effects of human sinfulness and was sacrificed on the altar of the cross. But sin and death are not more powerful than Jesus, because Jesus is the Son of God. He's overcome those and now is living glorious in his risen body at the right hand of the Father. That's really right at the center of our Catholic faith, you know, there's an important opportunity, I think, in the Easter season, especially to just reaffirm our belief in that, that, you know, to be a Catholic and to be a disciple of Jesus Christ is not first to follow the rules. It's not first to, subscribe to a certain way of life, but it is to have faith in the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, crucified and risen. And if that is true, then, and I really believe, if I believe it, if I accept it, if any of us does, then that means things have to change for me. I have to look at things differently, and I have to look at the world with Jesus at the center of it. I have to pay attention to him then, so that when he calls me to turn away from sin and to live in him, when he calls me to live in a certain way, I want to say yes to that. I can't do it perfectly. I've been trying it for many years. Yeah. I can't do it perfectly. He's very patient with me, and his mercy is always available, as we celebrated so beautifully on Divine Mercy Sunday. But it means that once I sort of look in his direction and accept this truth of Jesus as my Lord and Savior, that I need to orient my life around that truth. then the other things come from it. You know, so the way that I pray and my desire to be with him at Mass, and in other ways, my desire to treat other people with respect as he treats us, my desire to follow a way of life in our Catholic faith that Jesus himself has revealed will be good for me and good for the people around me. That all flows from it. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure why in the world in which we're living in today, if I, you know, didn't have a sincere belief in the fact of the resurrection, why I would want to follow all these other things, you know, yeah. Because then it would call into question the truth of God's revelation that I've come to know, and would call into question the just whether there's any reality in the other world beyond this one. And I might be tempted to settle for the mistaken notion that everything will just be settled here, and I need to, you know, live my life and in an immediate and mm-hmm. self-fulfilling way.
Settling for mediocrity, as John Paul II puts it.
Yeah, I mean, right.
Don't
I mean,
settle for mediocrity.
Yeah, mediocrity at best. I think, you know, it's settling for death, really, mm-hmm. and for the just for a life in this world that ends in death, period. What Jesus offers us, and we see it clearly through the power of his resurrection, is he offers us new life beyond this life. And we begin to experience it here already, and he is with us in it and accompanies us in our life with him in the church. But it opens up to a new and glorious life that he himself has claimed for us by the power of his death and resurrection.
Mm-hmm. My last question, how can Catholics and, I mean, even non-Catholics, how can we best prepare for the season of Pentecost?
And Pentecost was the kind of remembrance of the day when the Holy Spirit came with great power on the apostles, the disciples of Jesus. We see it as the beginning of the life of the church. I would say a couple things. The first is to recall that Jesus has promised to give the Holy Spirit to his disciples. It's a promise that was fulfilled for the first time in a big way, powerful way on Pentecost. The Acts of the Apostles describes that. But it's a promise that's fulfilled for each of us. It's fulfilled for us in our baptism and confirmation, and in many other experiences of our life in the church. We have an encounter with the living third person of the Blessed Trinity, the Spirit who dwells in us and with us. So we can recall that that's true. And then I think the second way to prepare is, knowing that that's true, then we should call upon the Holy Spirit and believe that we will receive power, we will receive the gifts that we need to, first of all, stay close to Jesus. And I would say the Holy Spirit confirms our faith that Jesus is Lord and that he is risen from the dead. So it's important that we ask the Holy Spirit to make us strong in that faith and that knowledge, and to help us be aware of how accessible Jesus is to us in our life in the church, so that mm-hmm. we call on him and walk with him, look for him, just as we were talking earlier. Secondly, though, we ask the Holy Spirit to help us live our faith. To first know Jesus and be close to him, that's a great thing, but that's not enough. He also sends his disciples out, and he tells us that when the Holy Spirit comes on us, we'll have the power that will enable us to live our faith in a public way, and not just to be showing off or not just to be public about it, but to live it in a way that will have an influence on other people. So maybe by what we say, also though by how we live and how we cultivate relationships with others, how we respect them. So it's a great time, you know, an ancient prayer of the church is a great time to pray at these weeks between Easter and Pentecost. Come, Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. fill the hearts of the faithful. We know that the Spirit is with us in the church, and the Spirit is doing the powerful work, as God always does, but it's up to us to participate in that relationship that the Holy Spirit is offering us. And so we do that by asking the Spirit's help and then being confident that we have it.
Definitely. Well, three simple words: come, Holy Spirit, and Veni, Sancte Spiritus. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
You know any more Latin besides?
I don't know where I learned that.
No, it's exactly right. It's an ancient prayer of the church, and we're happy and
it's the best three Latin words I know.
Glad to pray it. I have the opportunity during the time after Easter, between Easter and Pentecost, to celebrate the sacrament of confirmation in many parishes and with a lot of young people in the archdiocese. I do it at other times of the year too, but it's a particularly appropriate time. So I just invite our listeners to pray for those who are being confirmed, that they will be faithful and generous disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Could you impart a priestly blessing for us?
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the joy and the blessings of this Easter season. As we prepare for the Feast of Pentecost, give us the gifts of the Holy Spirit in abundance so that we might understand your holy will and have joy in carrying it out. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you all and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Archbishop. I look forward to the next episode.
All right. Thanks, Jimmy.